For months, Governor Snyder has been trying to get support from lawmakers to fix Michigan's roads. Now, we haven't seen a whole lot of progress on how the state will pay for road repairs. But now a State House committee has begun hearings on a road funding strategy. Jack, tell us about these recent developments.
Well, there's some sentiment now, Christina, for going to increasing the sales tax, which would have to be done by a statewide vote. The lawmakers are petrified that they'll get primary challenges. We're talking primarily about Republican lawmakers who they know intellectually they need to fix the roads. The governor says we need to spend the minimum of $1.2 billion a year for the next 10 years just to keep them in the shape they are now. But they're afraid of being challenged primarily by Tea Party people who think all taxes are bad. Somehow there's a belief that if the voters do it themselves, it may be less politically punishing, and also people might find the sales tax more palatable than increase in gasoline taxes, although sales taxes tend to punish the poor more. So it's still not clear, however, it's important to say it's not clear whether any road funding bill is going to be passed at all.
In other news this week, a report from the Department of Human Services shows that 14% of Michigan's lottery winners are either on welfare or they live with someone on welfare. A law passed last year allows the state to stop lottery winners from collecting food stamps. What's going on here, Jack?
Well, there was an egregious abuse where someone had won a vast amount of money in the lottery and was still getting food stamps, and somehow that fell through the cracks. But it's politically popular to bash people on welfare. A bit of that's what's going on here. The number itself, 14%, doesn't tell us very much. We don't know whether these people are winning $5 or $10 or whether they're winning millions of dollars, but it's certainly reasonable to argue that someone who wins a multi-million dollar lottery ought not to get food stamps, but we're talking about a very minuscule number of people.
And finally, Jack, after years of debate over gay rights in Royal Oak, the City Commission has voted to put a human rights proposal on the November ballot. The ordinance is aimed at protecting gays from discrimination in housing, employment, and public accommodations like restaurants and hotels. More than a dozen cities in Michigan have similar ordinances. Give us some background on this debate in Royal Oak.
Well, Royal Oak is a little bit different, and in fact, what happened is the City Commission voted to make this law some time ago, and then citizens who are opposed to it, primarily, I think, people who are anti-gay, collected signatures, and now there'll be a referendum on it. There was such a referendum about a dozen years ago, 13 years ago in Royal Oak, and people then turned down this human rights ordinance, or a similar one, by a 2-to-1 margin. Of course, society's attitudes have shifted as far as LGBT Americans are concerned. The interesting thing about this ordinance, it's not quite like some of the others. While everybody's talking about it in terms of gay rights, it adds a whole lot of other kind of protected people. It says you can't discriminate against somebody who is pregnant or might become pregnant or HIV status, and also intriguing things like weight. Now, I can imagine that an employer couldn't care less whether a particular employee was gay, but for reasons of health care and benefits and absenteeism, might not want to hire somebody who was 150 pounds overweight. So you might have some people opposing this ordinance on grounds that have nothing to do with gay rights, but it'll be interesting. It'll probably be divisive. Royal Oak is sort of a suburban community with different income levels, about 57,000 people, and I think the state and to some extent the nation may be watching to see how Royal Oak votes on this.
All right, Jack, as always, thanks a lot.
Thank you.